Y'all bow with me in prayer this evening. Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We are grateful for the old rugged cross that we sang about tonight, Lord. We're thankful that you chose to bear that for us, Lord. And as we study tonight about what you've called for us to do, that you've called us to bear a cross as well, Lord, that we would heed that call, Lord. Be with us tonight, Lord. Teach us from your word, that we might hear from you, Lord, and that we may act according to your word for your glory. And we praise you and we thank you for all those gathered. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in Mark chapter 8 tonight. We're going to be reading five verses this evening. Five verses. Of course, we're in our second week of Family Ties. This is the time where we kind of all gather together as a church family, take a break from our busy summer, get out of the heat for a little bit, and just take some time to study God's Word together as a family. Last week, Pastor Mike talked about the good life. This week, we're going to talk about the cross-bearing life. This is one of those passages of Scripture, you know, Pastor Mike, I hear you all the time talking about you won't apologize for the words of Jesus. And Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38 is definitely one of those hard sayings of Jesus. It's a very clear saying. It's not a mysterious saying or a teaching, but it's a hard saying. So we're going to dive into this tonight and where the Lord directed us to go and study this. Mark 8, 34 through 38. Let's just read this passage if you'll get there with me. And you can stay seated. Mark 8, 34 through 38 says, summoning the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. All right, amen. So we look at this tonight. Again, this is probably not the comfortable sit back and just kick your feet up kind of passage that we're going to examine tonight, because it's a tough saying of Jesus. It's a tough saying of Jesus. There's a specific series of commands here that he gives his people, his followers. But let's build up to this a little bit before we dig into this passage. I want to talk about, we'll get to the context here in a minute, because it's very important what Jesus was teaching his followers in Mark chapter 8 as he leads up to this teaching with them. You know, many people have ideas about what this passage is talking about when it refers to taking up your cross or bearing your cross. They see cross-bearing as many different things. Some people may see cross-bearing as dealing with the hardships of life, you know, which could include a husband who doesn't pick up after himself or easily forget things. Wives may throw their hands up and say, oh, that's just my cross to bear. You may have a rebellious toddler, a three-year-old, like who's in my house sometimes, who is stubborn, who's set on making life miserable, or so it seems. Oh, he's just my cross to bear. You have a difficult extended family that is always at conflict with one another, or an illness that won't go away, or a job you hate, or neighbors that would make the Clampets look like the Cleavers by comparison. You know, these are all things that you may consider crosses to bear, but at the end of the day, these really aren't what it's talking about. The truth is that none of those things that I listed are crosses to bear. They are just the day-in and day-out struggles that come from living in a fallen world, of dealing with sin every day, of dealing with people who live in a falling world, who are going through the same things that we are. And we all experience these things to various degrees. But cross-bearing, I believe, as it refers to this passage, goes beyond those things. Cross-bearing, if you want to put a definition to it, cross-bearing is suffering, ridicule, scorn, suffering, or even death because of one thing and one thing alone. Because you have laid your life at the feet of Jesus and said, I surrender all. Like, that's what is talking about here when it comes to bearing a cross, to cross bearing. So following Jesus comes at a cost, according to this passage. And really, when it comes down to it, you hear a lot of messages. Paul dealt with it in his day. We're dealing with it today. But if you hear any gospel, if there is any gospel that demands nothing from you but promises everything to you, then it's a false gospel. according to this passage. German pastor and theologian. If any of y'all heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Calling him a theologian is probably an understatement. This man was a pastor, a theologian, a scholar. He was a spy for the Germans during the time of Hitler. He also was part of the assassination plot for Hitler. So he wore a lot of hats. But at the end of the day, a lot of people remember him as a pastor. And he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And he basically said that very same thing, that the call of Christ is to come and die. That discipleship itself is a call to come and die. So that seems harsh, but what is it talking about here? So let's look at some of the context in Mark chapter 8. As you look at, if you scroll through it and you look at your headings, you see Jesus is doing a lot of things. Chapter 8 starts out with him feeding the 4,000. And then he talks to his disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. He heals a blind man. And then he gets to probably one of the more pivotal points in the whole Gospel of Mark. In verses 27 through 30, we have Peter's confession of Jesus as the Messiah. So Jesus is having a discussion with his followers, the 12 disciples included, about what it means to follow him. So this section, it comes after two important things: Peter's confession of Jesus as a Messiah, and then verses the preceding section, verses 31 through 33, where he predicted his own death and his resurrection at that point in time. So he also rebukes Peter after Jesus tells them that he must die. Peter rebukes Jesus and Jesus rebukes him. In verse 32, says he was openly talking about these things, about dying on the cross, resurrecting 3 days later. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's." So following that rebuke, so Jesus' messiahship, him being the Messiah, was affirmed. And then he has predicted his own death, and now he calls for his disciples to bear their cross and follow him. So you see the sequence here. He's being confessed as the Messiah. He's predicted his death by death on a cross. He told his disciples that several times. And then he's telling them that you must bear a cross as well. So there is a pattern to this. So his call to them to bear their cross and follow him was an intense call. Imagine what their thoughts may be. So let's look tonight. What is the essence of cross bearing? What does it mean to bear your cross? What does it mean to be willing to lose your life in order to save it, as Jesus says in this passage? What does it mean to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus? And I believe this passage teaches us four things about what it means to live the cross-bearing life. Here's a quote I meant to have there, but this was the Bonhoeffer quote: "The cross is laid on all Christians. The first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is the dying of the old man which is the result of his encounter with Christ. The call to discipleship, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, means both death and life." So let's dive into that, cross-bearing. So first of all, the first characteristic of a person who is living the cross-bearing life is they put to death self-centeredness. They put to death self-centeredness. If you look at verse 34 again, a lot of times people think the ways and the words of Jesus are hard to decipher, or they're unclear, or they're mysterious. The truth is that the words of Jesus often in the New Testament are not a mystery, or they're not unclear. They're just really hard to accept, right? They're hard. This is no exception. In this verse, Jesus is making a hard statement about discipleship. To follow him is to deny yourself, to sacrifice self-centeredness. So the Greek word for follower in this passage means to join him as his attendant, to accompany him. So Jesus points out three things just in verse 34 that make up what we would call, quote-unquote, the normal Christian life. Now, these things don't look very normal to the world, but according to this passage, this is what constitutes the normal Christian life. Not our definition in our heads of what we think the Christian life is, but what does Jesus say it means to be a follower of him? And he lists three things. The normal Christian life means denying yourself. So what does that look like? In essence, it means you give up the right to chart your own path in life and live as Jesus directs you to live. The cross-bearing life treasures Jesus above anything else. You treasure him more than your riches. You treasure him more than your comfort. You treasure him more than your personal plans for your life. Everything. All of it. Whatever your plans are, whatever your dreams are, you deny self and you surrender to Jesus. One commentary that I read puts it this way. You get rid of the idol of I. You get rid of the idol of I. You step aside and you let Jesus chart your course. You take your hands off the wheel and Jesus becomes the captain of the ship. So as a parent myself, who prays that my kids will one day wholeheartedly believe the gospel, who will wholeheartedly follow Jesus with everything that they've got. That's a scary thing, right? To deny self. A question I often ask myself as it relates to my kids, because I have to practice self-denial in my life too. And in practicing self-denial in my life, I recognize that my kids belong to Him. And so I ask myself questions. What will Jesus demand of them? What will He demand of them? Where might He send them? Would I rather have the security of them staying close to me but not in His will, or halfway around the world but right in the center of what He would have them be doing? So self-denial as a parent doesn't just involve me, myself, letting go of what my plans are, but it's trusting God with the futures of my children. And so those of us who have had kids or currently do, that's part of what it means to deny yourself as well. So it's a tough thing. It's a hard thing to deny self, but Jesus requires it of His followers. The second thing He says in verse 34 is take up your cross. Take up your cross. This reveals the extent of our self-denial. This is just building on. What does it mean to deny self? It doesn't mean just to give up everything that you may have planned out in this world to live for Jesus. It's being willing to die for Jesus as well. Again, you know, we talk about cross-bearing as if it's the hard things of life, as Jesus has required. And life is hard, and there's a lot of hard things that we must bear, burdens that we must bear, but there's no reason to allegorize this statement in the New Testament. There is only one way His original followers would have taken the statement, bear the cross. You can't really define it any other way. A criminal during this period in time, victims of crucifixion, were asked to carry the crossbeam of their cross to the side of their own execution. So there was no mixing meanings what Jesus was talking about here. He wasn't giving a metaphor for life. He meant, bear your cross. That's what His followers at that time would have heard. So this statement, bear your cross, follows again His prediction of His own death on a cross. So that even solidifies the fact that He's talking about a real cross here. So how do we take that? You know, we don't do that. We don't see that today. He is asking them if they were willing to bear that burden. Jesus is going to bear that burden for them. He's going to carry the cross. He's going to die for them. Are they, as His followers, willing to do the same thing? And so why? Why would they be willing to do that? Why would they be willing to bear a cross? Why is He demanding that His followers bear a cross? He's not saying that all of them will end up crucified. He's just saying, are you willing to go to that extent to follow me? Because during that period in time, during first century Roman Empire, you risked a lot by following Jesus. So why? Well, it goes back to verses 27 through 30 in chapter 8. Why? Because He's the Messiah. He is. If He is who He says He is, and He's worthy of these things. He's worthy of you to deny yourself to follow Him. He is worthy of you taking up your cross to follow Him. If He is all of those things, He is worthy of your life. And so Jesus demands that. You know, Luke's account of this passage actually adds the word daily in there. Take up your cross daily. And that has another significance to it. For many first century followers of Jesus, it was a risk to live for Jesus. It was a risk to share Jesus. When He died and resurrected and ascended, they still preached His name, taught His name in a very, what would seemingly be hostile environment. But they, for the sake of the gospel, they risked their lives to share the gospel. And many of them perished. All but John died in some form or fashion. All of the disciples but John passed away. John's the only one that lived to an old age. So Jesus knew what following Him would cost. In essence, He was asking them, are you willing to follow me, a man who will one day be condemned, hung on a cross, and die as one condemned? So taking up your cross is daily, and it's a continual thing. Are you willing to bear the burden of the cross every single day of your life? Going where Jesus sends you, sharing good news about Jesus, and be willing to risk whatever may come as a result of doing that. So bear whatever burdens come from following Jesus. That's the essence of bearing your cross. Whatever Jesus asks you to do, you do it, and you deal with whatever comes as a result. So, deny yourself, take up your cross. The third thing Jesus says in verse 34, follow me. Follow me. This one is pretty simple. Believe and obey. Believe and obey. Do what he asks. Leave everything. Surrender everything to him. Pick up your cross. Follow him. Join him. Accompany him. Surrender to him. It's a simple command with a high cost. So he invites all of us to do the same thing. To follow me. Daily, continually following him. So the question is that's posed to us is, will we risk it? Will we lead the cross-bearing life? Because it goes on to describe what are some of the effects of that. So what happens when you lead the cross-bearing life? Well, first of all, when you look at verse 35, it's not safe. It isn't safe. The cross-bearing life is not a safe choice, and especially in the first century. And increasingly in our culture, even though, again, we don't face death on a daily basis like some Christians in the world, there is a certain amount of cost that comes for proclaiming the name of Jesus. So after after reading verse 34 and looking what Jesus demands, it's definitely an understatement to say that the cross-bearing life isn't safe. But what is exactly is Jesus getting at when you look at verse 35? For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. He's discussing a paradox here. To receive life, you must be willing to lose it. The question that has eternal ramifications for us is, what will you do with the cross? And it's really for everybody of all time, is what will you do with the cross? John says it this way in his gospel in chapter 12, verse 25 of John, the one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So if you shun the cross and you embrace this world and you do things your way, thus rejecting self-denial, you give in to self, you'll be eternally lost. So you may have life here and now, but you forfeit your eternal soul. That's the point Jesus is getting at. However, those who embrace the cross, deny yourself, will find eternal life. So lose your life in order to find it. So the question is, which existence do you find most important? The cross-bearing life isn't safe, according to this. These first century followers of Jesus, it could cost them their life, as I've already mentioned, but the treasure of knowing Jesus, the treasure of knowing Christ, and being able to spend an eternity with him outweighed that loss. We're going to see some examples from Apostle Paul as we get further into this here the next few minutes. Paul talked a lot about this. Paul is the ultimate example of cross-bearing, of what it meant to live the cross-bearing life for us in the New Testament. But the joy of knowing Jesus, the treasure of knowing Jesus and being able to spend an eternity with him outweighed the loss that they would encounter. So Jesus would be put to death for claiming to be the Messiah should those that herald the message of Jesus expect anything different. Again, this is the message that he's communicating to his disciples, to his followers there in the first century. So when we look at the example of Paul's life, and you don't have to turn there, but when you look at 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27, it's kind of a brutal list of what all Paul endured for the sake of the gospel. It's a list of everything that he suffered for the cause of Christ. And I've listed a few of those things for you here if you can see that. So he was beat 5 times with 39 lashes, beat 3 times with the rods by Romans. The lashes was by the Jews. That was their method of punishment. The 3 times with the rod is by the Romans. Stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, said he was in danger in various places, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, cold, lacking clothing. But his conclusion, if you would think that if Paul went through all that, he would have a rather cynical view on the faith. He would have a rather cynical view on life. But his conclusion to all of that was that God's grace was sufficient. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "So I take pleasure in weakness, insults, catastrophes, and persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So Paul recognized that his strength came from his weaknesses, that his strength came from God's glory shining forth through his weaknesses in his ministry. So he could be beat. He could be stoned, he could be shipwrecked, he could be hungry, he could be thirsty, cold, he could be without clothing, but as long as he had Jesus, that's all that mattered to Paul. As long as he had Jesus, he was willing to endure whatever he had to endure. So that's the example for us. It's not that Christ doesn't want us to be safe or satisfied or secure. He just wants us to find those things in him. That's what it means to live the cross-bearing life, is to find those things in him and not in the world. The cross-bearing life is not safe for our, it's not safe for our flesh to deny self and follow Christ, because he will mortify sin in our life. That's an old word, right, Mike? Mortify sin. He will get rid of it in your life. He will work it out of you. To follow him, to deny yourself, means that you're willing to submit to that. And part of that submitting to Christ means that he will work things out of your life that shouldn't be there. For the sake of your soul, he will help you put to death the deeds of the flesh. So the cross-bearing life is about trusting Jesus enough with your eternal soul that you are willing to risk your life for the gospel here and now. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to bear the cross. And it's not safe, according to the standards of this world, I should say. It's completely safe for your soul to bear the cross of Jesus. So the third thing, the cross-bearing life can't be bought. If you look at verses 36 and 37 here again, for what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his life? And what can a man give in exchange for his life? So we examine these verses, and I am paying attention to the clock. Pastor Mike set a standard. He got us out early last week. I don't want to be the long-winded one of the crew here. So out of all four of us that are preaching in July, I don't want to be the long-winded one. He's talking about the cross-bearing life can't be bought. The long-term reward of the cross-bearing life is eternal life. So it's a reward that can't be bought, and there is nothing in the world that one can earn or be valuable enough in exchange for it. That's his question. What can you do to exchange for eternal life? So the rewards of the cross-bearing life come at great cost, your life. So Jesus, in these verses, asks two very important questions that I think we should consider. What benefit is gaining the whole world if you lose your life for eternity? That's the question he asked there in verse 36. What benefit is gaining the whole world if you lose your life for eternity? John MacArthur, in one of his books, said it this way: to have all the world has to offer, fame, money, comfort, etc., yet not have Christ is to be eternally bankrupt. The world's goods will not compensate for losing one soul eternally. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. This is just pure gospel that's coming out tonight. This is just what happens when you choose to follow Jesus. And I know that all of you, that the majority of you here, have made that decision, that you've dug in, that you've chose to follow Jesus, that you're bearing your cross. But every now and then, I think we need to hear this, right? I think we need to be reminded of what it cost Jesus for us to be able to have this eternal life. And I think we need to be reminded of what it cost us to follow Jesus. Are we risking it? Are we doing enough for that cause? The Apostle Paul valued eternity with Christ so much that he could say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So only a person who has denied self and is devoted to the cross-bearing life can view death as gain, can view it as valuable. The second question Jesus asked in verse 37, what can a man give in exchange for his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life? So when that person who spent their lives pursuing all this world has to offer one day stands in judgment before God, what could they possibly offer that would buy the eternal rewards only offered in Jesus? That's the question. And the obvious answer to Jesus' question on both accounts is nothing. It's nothing. So the purpose of these questions was to get his listeners to focus on the eternal. Paul did the same thing, right? If anyone could have confidence in the things of the world, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he did. So if you wanted to turn there, Philippians 3 verses 7 and 8, just so I can make sure you're awake, you can turn a few pages here with me. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul says this. He says, but everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them filth, so that I may gain Christ. So the cross-bearing life views Jesus as the ultimate treasure and places the value of knowing him above everything else. So Paul was willing to give up everything he had even his life in order to know Christ, to be found in Christ. So if we take these two questions of Jesus, the two questions of Jesus, what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his life? And what can a man give in exchange for his life? And we put those in a modern vernacular. We put those in modern terms. What benefit is having a beautiful home and the best cars and all the power and prestige that money can buy if you lose your life for eternity? What of any of these things can you offer God in exchange for your life eternal? Or better, what is worth holding on to in this world at the expense of your eternal life? Is there anything in your life that you aren't willing to give up in order to pursue Christ with all that you have? Is there anything in your life that you look at and say, I can't get rid of that? Anything else I'm willing to lose, but I can't get rid of that? Then you'd be making the same mistake as the rich young ruler did when he came to Jesus and asked him the same question, what must I do for eternal life? And of course, Jesus told him to follow the commandments, and he said, I've done that. And then he said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And he couldn't do it because that was the one thing that he had that he couldn't let go of. And I think we have to ask ourselves that question every day. Is there anything in your life you aren't willing to give up in order to pursue Christ? Because if the answer is yes, then that thing, whatever that thing is an idol in your life. So the rewards of the cross-bearing life can't be bought. They are only found in Jesus and only found in treasuring him above everything else. And so our final thought tonight, as we look at verse 38, is that the cross-bearing life, the person who lives the cross-bearing life, isn't ashamed of Jesus or the gospel. Isn't ashamed of Jesus or the gospel. Verse 38 again says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. Again, a very hard verse. Not a hard verse to understand. It's very clear. It's very hard to take in. The person living the cross-bearing life is unashamed of Jesus and the gospel. So this is teaching us, it's teaching us a very deep truth. Those who refuse to deny self, take up their cross, and follow Jesus are ashamed of him. They are ashamed of him. And the harsh truth is that you can't be a follower of Jesus and ashamed of him at the same time. So this section ends, verse 38 here, concludes this section in Mark's gospel, and it ends with a warning that consists of two unchangeable truths, two things that will happen, two things that will always be true. The first one of those things being that Christ is coming back. It's very assured in all the New Testament and in this passage as well. He will return in full glory and authority. He will return on mission from his Father to gather the church. And he's bringing, if you look at this passage, what's he bringing with him? It says he's bringing with him a whole host of the holy angels. So Christ is returning. So this warning is built on that truth. The second truth this warning is built on is that he will reject those ashamed of him. So present rejection of Christ now means being rejected by him when he comes in full, in his full glory. It's almost as if Jesus is telling his followers, don't be fooled. I will not return as you see me now, but in full power and authority. So embrace suffering for a season and be vindicated for all of eternity. Because these are the people that follow him that he's talking to. This is the disciples. This is the me and you of that day. His people, his followers, his disciples that he's teaching this truth to. This is why the cross-bearing life is so vital and it's so urgent that those who live the cross-bearing life bring the gospel to those currently ashamed of Jesus, lest they one day face being rejected by him. So that's why the cross-bearing life is so important for you and it's so important for me that we deny self, that we take up our cross and follow him, because there are people in our town, in our county, in our state, in our world that are ashamed of Jesus, that are ashamed of Jesus. And it is our job as his followers, as cross-bearers, to go to those people, to see them turn to Jesus, lest he be ashamed of them one day at judgment. So there will always, always in our life be enemies of the cross. But those of us who choose to live the cross-bearing life do so with the knowledge that he will one day set all things right. So the good news is that even though following Jesus comes at a cost now, suffering is just for a season. It's a temporary thing for those who follow Jesus. And again, I'm going to refer to the Apostle Paul on this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, if you wanted to turn with me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 10, I'm going to be skimming through it here, but in verse 10, this is where we're going to end at, so you can just mark, you know, flip over to that one, because we'll end here. So, in verse 10, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So Paul was willing to bear the cross all the way to death, all the way to giving his life. He would later say later on that his outer person was being destroyed. His outer person was being destroyed. Paul was a man who was wasting away. Paul was a man who was giving everything that he had for the cause of Jesus, for the cause of the church. He was willing to bear the cross all the way to death. So here in his view, on this present suffering, he kind of helps us put this in perspective. When you look at starting in verse 16, there in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, therefore we do not give up. That's a comforting word from the Apostle Paul. Therefore we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary and light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable, eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So Paul viewed cross-bearing as both momentary and light. Because I view this passage as Paul describing the cross-bearing life that Jesus called him to. Jesus issued the call to Paul. He accepted it. He bore his cross. And he's describing all the affliction that comes with self-denial, all the affliction that comes with bearing your cross. He's describing it as both momentary and light. Momentary in that it only lasts for a season. Light compared to what Jesus endured for us. Momentary and light. Momentary and light. And those are two words that come, I think, when you're going through a hard season of life, that you turn to this passage and you view Paul. Paul, who suffered more than any of us could possibly imagine. Paul, who bared his cross to the end of his life. Paul, who gave his life for the cross, says that those afflictions were momentary and that they were light. They were only a season because he had his eyes set on something greater. In other words, Paul was saying, it's worth it. It's worth it. Cross-bearing is difficult, but it has a purpose. Cross-bearing may destroy the outer man, but the inner person is being renewed day by day. That's what kept Paul going. He says, for we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, there is no shame in denying self and bearing a cross for Jesus. There's no shame in that. He has removed our shame, and he's promised us eternity with him. So the call of Christ is, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of my cross. Don't be ashamed of bearing me. Don't be ashamed of such a wonderful gospel that we have to share. And we neglect that, don't we? We neglect the message of Jesus. We neglect to share it with those around us. We neglect to live it in our own lives. We neglect and we often forget what Jesus has called us to. We often get caught up, and especially me, I'll just speak autobiographically for a minute. It's easy to get caught up in raising two kids and doing ministry and all these things that we get caught up in that we're trying to build our own kingdoms, right? And Christ is saying, no, we need to destroy those kingdoms. Live for mine. And so what are we doing in this world that has eternal ramifications? Because cross-bearing, you know, it's an impossible calling without the help of God's Spirit in our life. That's the good news of the cross-bearing life. He is with you. He is with you as we do it. So in conclusion, I just wanted to wrap this up by saying the cross-bearing life is difficult, but it's what we're called to. It's what Jesus called us to. And I preach this difficult message to the family, to encourage you. I encourage you to examine your own life. Is there anything Jesus has asked you to deny or to give up that you're still holding on to? I encourage you to step outside the walls of safety and comfort that you've built, if you have those, and live the cross-bearing life. Risk something for Jesus this week. Risk something for him this week. I encourage you to know that even though the cross-bearing life is costly, even though it'll cost you something, it comes with great rewards. And I encourage you to focus on the eternal weight of glory that Paul talks about in this passage in 2 Corinthians that awaits and to view all the afflictions that come with the cross-bearing life as momentary in life. So I ask you, in essence, to join me and to step out into a culture that's becoming increasingly hostile to the gospel of Jesus, that's becoming increasingly hostile to those who follow Jesus and live the cross-bearing life. Who knows what it'll cost you? I have no idea 20 years from now what it may look like in America to live for Jesus, what it may mean for a pastor to stand in a pulpit and to preach the Word of God, what may be the ramifications of that. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what it may mean for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus to read your Bible in public or to pray in public or to ask somebody else, a stranger, if they know Jesus and what the ramifications will be of sharing the gospel with that person. I have no idea what it will mean for us in the future to stand on the principles of God when it comes to family and marriage and how the world may react to that. We can't control how the world reacts to that. We can't control what all the laws are. We can elect officials, but at the end of the day, we get what we get. But we can control what we do with the cross. We can control what we do with the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And we can be willing to bear whatever the cost is that comes with that. And our country, again, it doesn't seem like all of us are suffering that much. But one day there may be a cost. And if you're not getting ready for it now, will you be ready for it then? And so that's what I challenge you. Will you join me and step out into our culture, into our world, into our city with the gospel and live the cross-bearing life?